Summertime in central Minnesota. Definitely a time to get out and about. And if you don't want to leave town, there are a plethora of opportunities here in St. Cloud for you and your family. Today, I'm sitting down with Scott Zlotnick, Director of Recreation for the City of St. Cloud. So, Scott, City of St. Cloud actually has quite a few parks around here. There's definitely the quality and the quantity of parks. We've got over 90 parks here in St. Cloud, don't we?
You bet, Jeff. 92 to be exact. Well, I tell you, I think number one, when people move to an area or they move to a community, what do they look at? One of the top three issues that they look at is going to be community livability, and that's where the parks really come in. Like I said, 92 parks in St. Cloud. We have over 1,500 acres. But dynamically enough, we have one of the most greatest natural assets in our area, i.e. the Mississippi River, and we're fortunate enough this morning to be sitting right off it. I wish I said you had a great view out your window, but we're not exactly appearing over the window, but over the river. But we have just an enormous amount of assets. We have natural areas. We have access to the river. We have action sports or passive sports like disc golf, or we have just about anything you could imagine. I think some of the key things that we have to offer is Lake George, St. Cloud's premier park in downtown. There's just a buzz of interesting things happening. As a matter of fact, this weekend, St. Cloud State is actually a partner in Lake George's Get Out and Play Week, sponsored by Pepsi and Burnix. That kicks off at Saturday with Outdoor Endeavors in the St. Cloud State Rec Programming Department, Ron Sebring's department, doing a little kickoff for the year here, Saturday, Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, nice. And what time does that get going on Saturday?
11 o'clock, 11 to 3, down at the Lake George Boathouse. Paddle boats will be in full swing, canoe rentals, so on and so forth.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you can probably just find that right off 7th Street there if you're not familiar with where exactly that is. It's the big lake in the middle of town. You can't miss it.
Biggest 9-acre lake. That's great, yeah. I hear it's stocked with crappies, too. I got a report from a local retired guy that volunteers with us in the park department. He said he was kind of checking on folks down there, and he said the limits of crappies here lately is the word, the buzzword.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there's fishing in town, too. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So we've got a variety of different events that are coming up at the different parks as well. Yeah, can you talk about some other of those?
Well, I think if you want to really get the event schedule, you can log on to the city's website at ci.stcloud.mn.us and go to the park department link or the rec department link. And actively, the postings appear, they change biweekly, if you will.
Excellent, excellent. We also link to that off of our website at kvsc.org as well. Well, how about the dog parks? How has that been developing over the years?
Yeah, the dog parks have been very, very popular. And, you know, as department grows and professionals grow, we learn things about people. And the thing that we've really learned on the dog parks is we're kind of living really in a dynamic world right now. And the neighbors and people and neighborhoods, they don't really take the opportunity to get to know each other. And when we started working with the dog park task force and we implemented dog parks in St. Cloud, what we found is one neighbor had a dog and another neighbor had her dog. Now they actually met at the dog parks and they got to know each other, which is great. And that's what really builds community is people talking to people and people helping each other out. So we're really excited about the dog parks and the success that it's brought. But it is, you know, slightly problematic at times. You do have people that don't follow the rules and you do have people that don't acquire the proper permits. So we always encourage people to make sure they follow the rules and do things appropriately. So.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of dog parks as well. I've seen some really neat stuff happen with those. It is. It's a very social. I mean, dogs are social creatures, but, you know, humans, we can kind of just get to doing our own little thing and just you end up not meeting your neighbors.
Yeah, like, yeah. The power of scent, I guess. You know, the dogs, they can kind of sniff each other out and get a good feel for the personalities. And I think we need to be better at that as not only as neighbors, but as human beings as well. We got to get out and introduce ourselves and make ourselves available. As with that, I'm always available. If people have a question, they want to call. I mean, we want to hear not only if there's issues out there, but we want to hear about positive things people are doing or thinking or want to implement and see if we can find strategies to find ways to get that done.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, the parks in St. Cloud are a great place to say hi to your neighbor. If somebody wanted to contact you, what's your phone number down there at the Parks Department?
Parks Department, 255-7216. And I normally don't answer that directly, but Jessica, our park secretary, is really good at answering questions and getting you sent off to the right department, whether you have a park or a rec question.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's touch base again on the disc golf parks. That was definitely something that drew me to this area as well, just seeing all the different, you know, the frisbee golf that was going on. How many of those do we have around?
We have two disc golf courses, the premier course at Riverside that everybody kind of waits this time of year to get open, and a little plug for Tim Mackey and all the efforts and the park crew. They got it open kind of a little bit earlier this year. We wanted to relieve some of that play pressure over at Calvary Hill, which is the other premier course that we have. If you've never been on the old 18th hole Larry's Launch, it's probably the most scenic vistas in St. Cloud up by the water tower. I think you can gaze off in the easterly direction. I don't even think you see another structure. It's nothing this time of year but tree canopies. So even if you're not playing disc golf, that's a nice little walk up that hill and take a look, and there sure is some nice vistas.
And let's see, other parks that we have out there. I see a lot of splash pads popping up nowadays here, too. Well, what can you tell us about the different splash pads around town?
Yeah, the splash pads, man, what a popular place to be. I was at Lake George Municipal Complex, which was one of our sites yesterday, and for some meetings over there, and we actually have a shared use agreement with the school districts. They use a majority of the parking spaces there, but we have about 45 spaces that we keep open for the public and staff and things of that nature. And I tell you what, everyone was full yesterday. Mothers and children and families are out playing and enjoying the splash pads. We have open right now. We have all three of them open. The one adjacent to Westwood, however, we keep it closed during the school hours until they get out for the summer. That could be problematic. But, you know, when you're in the job of creating play, we like to do it as much as possible. So, and then you also have Riverside, which is open as well. And that's a very, very popular venue. And, you know, the splash pads are a really good asset. They minimize staffing costs. They have the ability to be open and closed with an electronic timer to meet people's needs so we can maintain larger opening hours, which is very popular.
Yeah, they seem to be, you know, when those started popping up, I'm like, oh, they're taking out swimming pools. But at the same time, that seems a lot safer in a way. Also, just, I don't know, it's a different environment because you're still getting wet and you're still having fun. So we've had parks in this area for, well, as long as the city's been around, I would imagine. But, you know, Barden Park here on the St. Cloud campus, that's probably one of the oldest parks. I don't know, can you tell us a little bit about that? Well, that strange-shaped building in the middle of the park.
You bet. You bet. Barden Park, you're right. It is the oldest park. I believe 1956. It had its 150th anniversary. And I tell you what, Barden Park, ideally for its size and shape, is one of my favorite parks. And I may go a little long-winded on this one, but I have a special interest. We have a great group down there working with the St. Cloud Historic and Neighborhood Preservation Association. Juliana Elkhart and Rich Kelly, they've played a very active role in adopting the park and provided for the improvements. The band shell is what you're speaking of, circa 1929, made out of quarry rubble, cobbled granite cobblestone. It's a historic structure that's very well known. And amazingly enough, I think it gets confused with St. Cloud State. A lot of people think it's university property. We always like to say, no, it's not university property. That's a St. Cloud Park asset. And we're very proud.
I think that's what I just did.
Yeah. I got to tell you a quick story, though. If you have time for a story on the radio show, I actually, like I said, St. Cloud was 150 years old, right? And 2 years before that, Barden Park was 150 years old. I actually went over to the county and I pulled out the old town plat of St. Cloud, the first plat. And it was almost as if it was like the Shroud of Turin. It was like on lamb's paper, lambskin. It was so old, and they had it like very preserved and in a kind of an environmental structure there. It was very amazing to see. And as I pulled it out, I seen it was stamped the Iowa Territory.
Oh.
Matter of fact, the state of Minnesota wasn't even a state yet when Barden Park was first designed and built at that time. So yeah, very historic, very old, the oldest park in the system. It's quite an asset.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Well, excellent. Well, you mentioned a couple of names of people who help support the parks. What is the volunteer connection, I guess you could say, with the parks here in town?
I will say it is a lot larger than it has been in the past. There's been a big push here from the mayor. The mayor has suggested that we're going to do a big push for volunteerism in an effort to not only bring people into the parks, but see if there's some additional cost savings. We've learned a lot of different things. One is it actually takes money, time, and effort to manage volunteers, but people are willing to help, and we've been able to bring folks in. We do every year in May and late April, we do Earth Month cleanup. We don't do just Earth Day cleanup. We offer customized programs, maintenance, anything that groups desire to come forward. They simply log on, they fill out an Adopt-A-Park form. Now, it can be Adopt-A-Park for one day, it can be Adopt-A-Park for the season. We like to customize the program. This program in 2009 led to almost 7,000 volunteer hours logged for park maintenance activities and recreation maintenance activities. So volunteers are a huge asset in what we do. Self-maintaining parks, we have a lot of neighborhoods, the Aurora Park neighborhood. We have very active neighborhoods in St. Cloud that sponsor their parks and do active work. Joan Ryberg with the Hester Park, Kay Simonich, Michelle Johnson, very active. Carolyn Garvin on the east side, Kelly Bartlow and the Seaburger. I could go on, and I hope I don't miss any names, but at the same token, these people are really kind of representative of their neighborhoods, and these people are really, they should be recognized for their efforts.
Yeah, it just kind of demonstrates, you know, people are taking a responsibility for their community and, you know, they're making it a more beautiful place. So, yeah, definitely that kind of recognition is awesome. And you're listening to KVSC News in an interview that I conducted with Scott Zlotnick of the City of St. Cloud Parks Department. Now, as we get back into it, there is one particular park in St. Cloud that is particularly special to the residents of this town. That would be the Munsoner Clemens Gardens. Scott, can you tell us what makes this park so special?
Well, that's an excellent question. And obviously, if we're going to talk about visited parks and we're going to talk about central Minnesota and destinations, you hit the nail right on the head. Munsoner Clemens Garden is the number one free attraction in central Minnesota. Hands down, gets more visits than any other attraction that's out there. And we're very proud of that. And not only is there access to the river, but I mean, you can really get lost in that sense of place, whether it's in the formal gardens up top in the Clemens or in the more of the informal and passive style parks of the Munsoner. It really defines shape in gardens in general. Now, the Munsoner Clemens Botanical Society puts on Music in the Gardens Sundays throughout the summer. If you want to log on to MCBS, Munsoner Clemens Botanical Society on the website or search it by Google, you can find that event schedule. Sundays in the park, Music in the Gardens. Always free to the public. Come on in, see what we're doing. We're actively planting the gardens. Funny enough, today the staff had come up with a kind of a rendition of a song that we heard from American Idol and I think sung by the Vikings, talking about pants on the ground. We're going to change it a little bit and we're going to call it Plants in the Ground. That's what time of year it is here. So we're excited about that. The staff is really stepping up to the plate and we're going to deliver beautiful gardens as we do always every year. The gardens, a lot of people just really aren't aware of, you know, when they talk about their public dollar, but the gardens is a special kind of reserve account, as we call it. It's one third privately funded. And we're always looking for new opportunities in there. This thing was obviously with the contributors, the Clemens family, William and Virginia Clemens. This started back in the early 80s. And as we progress into the future with the tough economic times, we want to continue that sustainability. So, as I said, it's one third privately funded. We're always looking for additional opportunities to meet with folks that are interested in maybe possible contributions or playing a role in the garden. So we'd like to throw that out as well. Getting back to the Beaver Island, that's a linear park that we call that in trail system. And what a crown jewel that is, Jeff. If you've never been on that, you're missing out in St. Cloud. It'll take your breath away. I happen to have the delegation, the park delegation from Akita, Japan several years ago come in. And as you know, with Akita, they are our sister city. We haven't had an opportunity to go over and visit them, but we're looking forward to that at some point in the future. But they walked along the trail with me, and then we drove the rest of it. Motorized vehicles aren't generally allowed, but for park purposes, we have a tendency to be able to do those types of things. But their first question to me is, how much does it cost to utilize this? And I looked at them, I said, this is free. This is free to anyone that wants to use it during normal parks hours. And they could not believe it. Free. Wow, what an asset.
Oh, yeah, quite. Let's back up just a little bit more to the Munsoner Gardens again, or the Clemens Gardens, because there is quite the history with that, with how that was established. It was William Clemens made a garden for his wife. He brought the garden to her, basically.
Yeah, it is an incredible place, and it's really due to the level of quality. I mean, we put an enormous amount of time and effort into that and staffing level to get it to that maintenance level, that mode one of maintenance, and it's high level. Just to give you an example, we look at the gardens. When we hire seasonal staff, we have the same amount of seasonal staff in the gardens that we use in the same park system. So park maintenance maintains the whole system except for the gardens, and the gardens program maintains the garden. There's an equal amount of seasonal employees for that need, just to take it to that level. And as you expressed with the Clemens family and their continued contribution and foundation, it's very important to the sustainability. In the early 80s, I suggested, you had mentioned, I'm not sure the exact mental diagnosis of Virginia, but she was an invalid at the time. And yes, you are correct. Bringing the gardens to her was very important. And they've been a huge benefactor, and they've made contributions time and time again. And we are going to finish the domed memorial, if you haven't seen it, with the bronze statues this year. The filigree dome will be coming in here first part of June, will be installed, and then that project will be complete. So just another little destination within that beautiful Clemens Gardens. And you mentioned the events with the special events that we host. Yeah, we like to allow for the wedding opportunity in the Monsignor Gardens, the special events area. By definition, we don't allow special events up in the Clemens just because of the impact to the floriculture up there and the trampling that would occur. But we do allow for small wedding photography up there, but it does come at a substantial premium. And we really don't want to broadcast that over the air, but if people are interested and they want to host a special event in Monsignor for a wedding or a potential for a photo opportunity in the gardens, we can adjust that and have that conversation on fees. So,
yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, it's like, on one hand, the parks are here for everybody to enjoy, but once you start getting, you know, some special requests, there shouldn't be anything wrong with paying a little extra for that. I mean, that's why the gardens are there. You know, I mean, the one is for everybody to enjoy, but if you take that extra step up to, hey, let's have a special event, you know, yeah, of course, you know, you throw a little bit of money in. It's like the same concept as, say, you know, the dog parks. You know, you throw a little bit of money in to help maintain this park.
Exactly.
You know, for that special purpose. So
it all goes to a good cause. We, you know, we want to work. We're not really in the park business and the rec business. We're really in the relationship business, I say often. And we want to create lasting relationships. And how do we get that done? Is it strategic? Is it possible nonprofit? Is it just a friendly relationship? We like to explore those opportunities. That's very important to our existence.
Well, yeah, like, to go back to the splash pads again, I remember the splash pad up at Riverside. I think ING Direct had a lot to do with that.
ING Direct, yeah, they have this annual Orange Day of Caring, and that's through their Kids Foundation, working with Brian Myers and the ING team. They contributed over a two-year period nearly $70,000 in capital improvements for playground equipment up there, and I can't say enough about ING and what Brian Myers is doing. I would certainly like to get on that hit list again. I seem to make application, and hopefully I think it's a timely matter, but sometimes it seems to be not timely. But there's a lot of need out in the community, and they're serving a great need by working with other organizations. So.
Yeah, that kind of volunteer partnership really goes a long way. What kind of do we have any new parks in the works?
Well, you know, the capital improvement phase of the budget with the whole economic downturn has been pretty limited, but we're doing new things in parks. Some of the things that I could ask people to look forward to is if they want to research it on the web, or we have a projects and studies posting on the park link, as well as the city's capital improvement plan. And what we do with that is we project out 5 years and we budget for capital improvements. One of the things we're implementing, actually by council approval last night, is phase two of the Eastman project, working with the St. Cloud Rotary and the community to implement phase two development. What that will be is a Granite Fountain Plaza, which will kind of be the gateway to downtown St. Cloud, in the northeast corner, where we're actually redeveloping East Lake Boulevard and creating additional parking and a new roadway. If you've been on that roadway recently off of between 4th and 7th there, it's pretty dilapidated. And we're trying to get that improved for the customers visiting the park. Not only that, but we're looking forward, hopefully, with some grant opportunities through the Clean Water Legacy Fund to be able to implement some park improvements as well. We have some grant applications in to fund park and trail projects down in South St. Cloud, if you're familiar with our River Bluffs Regional Park, AKA, or formerly known as Plum Creek Regional Park. We're looking to implement first phase development there, and that would include bituminous trails, some nature trails, some kiosks, access to the river, and so on and so forth. And as you look out in our CIP, we obviously have the priorities of extending the Beaver Island Trail from the Civic Center to Hester Park in 2011. Now that's a pretty pricey project, but access to the river is very important for the citizens of St. Cloud, and we've heard that time and time again, and we want to be able to implement that project in a timely manner. There's some federal funds tied to that, some federal stimulus potential funds as well. So we've been working real hard to get that done.
Nice, nice. So are you guys involved with this Mississippi River cleanup that's coming up on June 5th at all?
Mississippi River cleanup, I'm not sure to what extent, but I'm sure we're playing a role. I'm not sure if we are 100% involved. I'd have to check with Jessica on that one. I haven't been dealing with those people individually, but we are involved from an administrative standpoint with a lot of the Mississippi River Renaissance and a lot of the movements on the Mississippi with all the special interest groups in the St. Cloud community and the regional area currently. Well, we actually are, from a city perspective, through our planning department, undergoing a master planning process with that, and that's being headed up by Matt Glazeman, our community economic director for the city of St. Cloud, and it's a funded project, and hopefully we'll provide a document that will guide us into the future.
To recap some of the events that we've got coming up, we've got the Lake George kind of kickoff this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and that was a partnership with Burnix, and how was who exactly is it all involved with that one again?
Yeah, well, the St. Cloud Park and Recreation Department, we have a relationship with St. Cloud State Outdoor Endeavors. Ivan Bartha and Ron Sebring through Campus Rec, they actually program our warming shelter out there, which is also known in the summertime as the Boathouse, doing the canoe rentals, the vending. They do some special water safety, kayaking, boating activities, as well as first aid classes. Instructional kayaking, things of that nature. So that's been a real good asset for the system, and brings people into the park as well. But, you know, I want to let people know that the park is going to be under construction, so there will be some impacts. We're looking at that cobblestone trail that everybody likes to use. That's going to be impacted to some degree, so we want customers to be aware that you may not be able to go in a full circle around there until we implement the rest of this construction project this year. But, you know, we have Granite City Days just around the corner next few weeks. You know, we got the big air show in town with Region Broadcasting, as well as the city on Sunday of that weekend hosts a large event at Lake George again, part of the Granite City Day event. As you know, with the in post years, they've had the Criterium and food vendors and live music and water show. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the agenda is for this year, but that'll be well published if it isn't already on the city's website, as well as the St. Cloud Times. And then our annual event every year, we have 4th of July, Hester Park, Wilson Park, and fireworks on the river. So we're really keying up and looking forward to that major event for our customers.
Nice. And Granite City Days, when exactly is that? It's the middle of June, isn't it?
It's the last weekend of June. I think it starts on the Thursday of the last weekend with lemonade. Goes into the what used to be the airport and the open house, but now that's going to be the air show, which begins on Saturday. And then Sunday, we'll kick off at Lake George, or we'll end the kind of the Granite City Days festival with the food vendors and all the activities at Lake George.
Oh, that sounds just incredibly fun. One thing dawned on me while we were talking. Parks aren't just for the summer around here either. We've got some cross-country skiing trails, you know, the warming huts and everything like that. You want to touch on that real quick?
Yeah, you bet. We do have a great relationship with the Nordic Ski Club of Central Minnesota. Working with that organization, they actually provide for the maintenance of not only our snow park in Riverside, which also includes not only cross-country skiing, but there's some snowboard terrain activities there as well. Last few years, they made artificial snow so we can get off to an early season. It's been very beneficial for some of our high schools in the area to host Nordic events. They maintain our open space and trail lease with the St. Cloud or Minnesota State Penitentiary System out at the Brownstone on Minnesota Highway 301. We have an extensive North Loop Trail system there. So not only that, we have ice skating rinks and we have hockey rinks in St. Cloud in the winter. Maintaining the snow is very important, and the ice is very important to those users and customers that partake in those activities.
Yeah, it's year-round fun at the St. Cloud Parks, I tell you.
But I will say, I wish I could give a guarantee when Lake George would be open for ice this next year. That's always seems the proverbial question when the weather starts getting cold. I think we get our first 32-degree Fahrenheit day, and then the call will come in from somebody, when's Lake George going to be frozen and ice skating?
Yeah, you almost got to say, don't call us, call the weatherman. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about just with parks or volunteering or?
Well, as I think, you know, obviously when you introduced me as a park director. I've now been recently promoted to rec director, so I'm sort of getting my feet wet in recreation and My goal is long-term to grow the department. I think that not only do we provide for great opportunities, I mean, in the industry such now, we hear this kind of coined over and over again. There's sort of an erosion that's occurring, an erosion from being a direct service provider of these opportunities to just becoming a creator of opportunity. And we see that and we hear that time and time again, but we really want to be able to make St. Cloud. We want to put St. Cloud back on the map when it comes to these. We have great parks. We have great assets. And now we want to be able to provide world-renowned assets. You know, this comes out time and time again when we visit the LiveCom Awards on an annual basis, and parks and sustainability are very important. So we want to be at the front of the line. We want to be trying harder than anybody to make sure that we're shining in all these areas. So with that, I think the opportunity is great, and we want to continue to grow and explore and expand our relationships and our department, with as well as our communication with the community.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. I would agree totally. Well, thank you for sitting down with me and talking about the parks today, Scott.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
You've been listening to an interview with Scott Zlotnick of the City of St. Cloud Parks Department. For more information on the variety of parks that St. Cloud has to offer, you can visit the City of St. Cloud website at www.ci.stcloud.mn.us. and look for the parks link, or you can link to it off of our website at kvsc.org. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting for KVSC News, and this report has been funded through the Minnesota Historical and Cultural Legacy Grant and is produced by KVSC, a proud member of Independent Public Radio.